All right, Bible says, Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. The angel of the Lord. See, now, the angel of the Lord, that's a Christmas thing. We're going to make the tie here in a minute. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Oprah. Yes, like Winfrey. That belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. The Midianites were occupying Israel. And if you pressed your wheat in a wheat press, they would come and take it. So nobody was pressing any wine at this time, so he was kind of doing it undercover. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That's kind of what he said to Aaron in the shower this morning. Amen? You see all these parallels that are happening? "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midianites." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring you my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your miracles that work around us, Lord, in Aaron's shower, in this building, in this city, in this state, in this world, Lord. I pray your deliverance from ISIS, Lord, to those Christians' families that are under persecution. I pray wisdom, Lord, as we look at a new president that is coming, Lord, that you would step in, Lord. Let us be wise. Let us make the right choice. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts for those of us that are hurting, to know that we can indeed persevere, Lord, that you answer prayers and that you are here to answer prayers this morning. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Gideon said, "Lord, how can I be sure it's you?" He went and got an offering. He brought a lamb. He brought some wine. And the angel said, "Put it on that rock right there." And he put it on the rock, and the angel reaches out his staff, and flame from the rock consumes the offering. And Gideon goes, "Wow, I guess this is the real deal." You got to watch out when you're talking to God, because he'll say yes. He'll come and prove to you. The light of heaven will come and shine upon you. And the real question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do when the light of heaven shines on you? Amen? That's what we're looking at today. Light of heaven is still shining. Shined on Gideon that day. Shined in Israel. As we take a look at Zechariah, we take a look at Mary this morning and spend our time looking at Luke chapter 1. Light of heaven is still shining on God's people. Title of today's message is Changed by the Light. This is a series called Let There Be Light. When the light of heaven shines upon you, don't duck. We got too many people that are ducking. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you're not ducking. I don't know that Aaron had space to duck in his shower this morning. Light of heaven shines on you. It shone on a young girl named Mary. God gave her the promise of a king. God gave her the promise of a son. And just like in Gideon's time, I really was thinking about 1,200 years earlier, when Israel was occupied by Midian, in Jesus' time, Israel is occupied by Rome. And the Jews are looking for redemption. The Jews are looking for a savior. The Jews are looking for a Messiah that can deliver them from the hands of their oppressors. And Jewish women would pray, "Oh Lord, give me a son that I might give birth to the Messiah." And as you look at the what is going on back in the day, you see the wise men are coming. They're looking for a Messiah, because the prophecies, the time of the prophecies is getting ready to be fulfilled. And nobody wants the Romans around. You take a look at the counselors that King Herod had. They said, yeah, now is the time for the Messiah. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew that from the Old Testament prophecies. And we take a look and we celebrate. We got Christmas trees. We got light. We got presents. We got all kinds of stuff. And it's just a joyous time, man. I hope it's joyous for you. It's joyous in our home. I realize for some of you it's not. Back then it was not such a joyous time. Herod had all the boys 2 years old and younger killed. So we see back at the time of Jesus, at the time of the birth of Jesus, incredible travesties happening. You know, just like what's happening today. You know, we see ISIS killing children and killing families and Muslim and Christian alike. But it's not just ISIS. It's Assad, the king of Assyria. The hospital's filled with people that have been mutilated and tortured by the government in Syria. Created a void in which all these, the civil war and these freedom fighters, per se, ISIS, started off because there was such travesty happening. People there now, people back in the day, people back in Gideon's time saying, let the light of heaven shine. Because the light changes everything. The title of the message today is Changed by the Light. When the light hits you, don't duck. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take a look. A lot of text today. Zechariah, we're going to take a look at Zechariah, and he is positioned for the promise of God. Stepping into the light, Zechariah, well, I'll just read. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. That means that she was a priest, from a line of priests. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They were church folk. Didn't have church back then, synagogue folk. All right. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. You know what well along in years means, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Lay it out for you there. Once, when Zechariah's division, Abijah, was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. I'll tell you what, I don't know how much better it gets than that. Zechariah and Elizabeth moving through life. They were priests of the line of priests. And being a priest of the division of Abijah, there were 24 divisions. And each division is kind of like being in the Army Reserve. You work 2 weeks a year. And so the 24 divisions would each work 2 weeks out of the year, 1 week in the spring, 1 week in the fall, depending. You know, every 6 months you would have to go in. And since they were, the only way you got to be a priest is if your dad was a priest. And since Elizabeth was of the line of priests, they had been going to Jerusalem 2 weeks a year since they were little kids. And they knew what was going on. And Zechariah, I mean, they're old. They've been doing this for a long time. All right, I see jackets coming out. I just don't want you to go to sleep, but I'll turn this fan off. There we go. Anybody starts falling asleep, I'm going to turn it back on. All right, so we got Zechariah and Elizabeth are back in Jerusalem. They are there. They're doing their thing. Been doing it for years, part of the routine. They live close to Jerusalem. They lived in the hills around Judea. And Zechariah is chosen to light the incense This is a once-in-a-lifetime shot. They would draw lots. They would draw straws. And once you got selected, you could never do it again. And so Zechariah had been coming. His dad's a priest. Maybe Elizabeth's dad's a priest. And they all knew you drew the straws. And Zechariah had been doing and doing and doing and never won, never won, never won, never won. Finally he hits and he draws the straw. He's like, man, I got my time. And he would light the incense in the most holy place. I got a picture there. Now, the incense would go up as a fragrant aroma before the Lord. And it would be accompanied with prayer. All right, everybody's around there praying. It's a time to light the incense. He would go in there. He's there for a week. Most likely, he is lighting the incense the whole week. He gets to do it. All right? And the whole temple is 45 feet by 15 feet. Okay? The whole temple is not much bigger than this platform right here. Okay? The 50-foot wide room. Okay? 15 feet. So it's about like this. And it's segmented. Oh, let me give you another picture there. It's segmented off. 15 by 15 is where the Ark of the Covenant goes. All right? And then there's a curtain. And that is where the presence of God is. The presence of God on the planet is inside the most holy place. On the outside of the most holy place is the holy place. And what is in there is the incense, the table of showbread, and the lampstand. Okay? So the priest went in there to serve. And they would have to fill put oil in the lampstand. They would bring the bread. And so him serving, it is probably not his first time he went into the holy place. But it is the first time that he put the incense out in the time of prayer. And so he's doing it for the whole week, and we don't know if this is the first day, the last day, what day it was. But he goes in there, and it's kind of small, right? And he walks in, and boom, there's an angel standing there. Now, I was talking to my kids club class on Tuesday about this. And I said, you guys know what an angel is? I said, what's an angel look like? And they said, looks like, you know, like Cupid. Now, I don't know that Cupid is going to engender a whole lot of fear from Zechariah. You following me? And so I started looking at images online, and there's a lot of them like this. You know, it's basically a regular dude with wings. But I don't know that that's going to engender a lot of fear either. Right? Now, the temple of the Lord is 15 feet wide, 45 feet long, and 15 feet tall. So the ceiling is basically twice as high as that. And I'm thinking, you get a fear factor going in there, I'm thinking you're talking an angel that's like big, right? And you're walking in there, right? And you walk in the door, and here's this 15-foot-high angel, and you're going, whoa, how do I get it? This guy's going to step on me, you know? You got the big angel. You got the little altar right next to him. To me, that speaks of fear. Whoa. Are you tracking with me here? Right? Little tiny Cupid ain't going to make fear. Big old angel. Gabriel, Archangel. Their spirit can happen. All right. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled. He was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. That's good news. Amen?
Amen.
I think we're waiting around. Hey, I want my prayers to be heard. I want to know my prayers have been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Now, I don't know that that's that wise. 15-foot angel, 10-foot high angel, whatever. Here's this angel that you're afraid of, and you're going, really? Really? Can I really believe you? How can I be sure of this? He says. I am an old man. My wife is... I'm too old for this. My wife's old too. Notice she wasn't there when he said that. The angel answered, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed in so long in the temple. He's positioned for the promise of God, and he is backpedaling, and he might miss the whole thing. You start praying to God, you start asking God to do some stuff. When he says yes, when the light of heaven hits you, don't duck. Because I tell you what, the light of heaven is hitting Zechariah right now, and he's ducking. He's getting ready to miss out on the blessing of God. And when the blessing of God comes to you, when you hear about the Lord speaking to Aaron this morning in the shower, don't duck. You might say, Lord, I don't get it. But you can move into it. Make sure you don't miss the miracle of God. Amen? Amen. Your prayers have been answered. Man, you're standing in the temple. You're lighting the incense. Prayers going up. Your prayers have been answered. That's what you want to hear. The appropriate response at that time is, thank you, Lord. Can I get a witness on that? Now, I'm too old. It will require an entire life change on Zechariah's part. I don't know if it gets any better than this for an old priest. Light of heaven coming. Whole life waiting for the Lord to move. He moves. And your response is, really? Can I trust you in this? Whole life ready to change. Zechariah is holding back. When I was in Bible college, I was old. Not as old as Zechariah, younger than I am, obviously. My roommate, who was also old, we were older than everybody else by 10 years at the Bible college. He was a rock climber, and he would do pull-ups on the door jams. I thought, oh, yeah, so you can be strong. And he would tell me about rock climbing. He'd tell me about his buddy who got stuck on the cliff. This is not a picture of him, but he's telling me this story. And he goes, oh, yeah, you just freeze up there. And you're just freaking out, and you just can't move, and you're terrified. And you get up there, and maybe you can relate. You'd be terrified in your life. And you start calling out to God, God, help me, help me. This guy calling out to God, help me, Lord. The Lord says, I got you. Let go. He's sitting there. Is anybody else out there? So you can be crying out to God, and he will answer you. And you're not that happy with his answer. Light of heaven shines on you. Don't duck. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, we start off with Gabriel, angel of the Lord speaking to him. We get moved to Zechariah, angel of the Lord speaking to him. Now we move to Mary, angel of the Lord speaking to her. We'll run my notes here. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. You have found favor with God. I'm sorry, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, you found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary gets a visit by Gabriel. Mary's just a girl. You know, tradition tells us that she might be 16 or 17 years old. And realistically, that's a cultural thing for us because we can't imagine her being any younger. But you take a look at areas in the Middle East, in the world, in our own history, United States history, there were times when girls were married much younger than 16 or 17. In fact, by Jewish law and custom, a girl of 12 and a boy of 13 were of age to be married. They could be betrothed, they could be arranged even earlier than that, 6, 7, 8 years old, and you'd just be growing up. You might never meet your husband. But from 6, you were betrothed, like you're married, but until you can come of age and consummate that marriage, nothing is going on. And we struggle with that. We struggle with the age of Mary because of our culture as well. Because of the youth. But what God does with in Mary, there's nothing physical about it. There's nothing sexual about it. And as we take a look in the reference that Isaiah has, that the virgin shall be with child, it's called Emmanuel, that word there, Alma, is for a young girl. And the younger that she gets, the greater the fear becomes, because you get this big old powerful angel Gabriel and this 16-year-old, 15-year-old, this younger girl, and all of a sudden this greatly troubled, this great fear is magnified. Are you tracking with me here? And you take a look at the meetings that we're looking at and what Gabriel is doing here. The first meeting is in the temple with an old priest. Now he's out in the sticks in Nazareth meeting this young girl. How contrary. You know, Zechariah is basically saying, I'm too old. And what Mary says, I'm too young. Can I get a witness? Are you tracking with me here? Everybody's got a reason to duck when the light of heaven shines on you. That's right. Mary's looking for details. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Oh, underline that in your Bible, folks. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. God's going to do a miracle in you. Light of heaven is going to shine on you. Everything is going to change. Your life will be transformed. The life of Israel will be transformed through the miracle that God is going to do in you. Mary's looking for clarification. How is this all going to work? I'm too young. Bible there says, I'm a virgin. It says, I don't know a man. If you know what it means to know somebody in the biblical sense, that's what she's saying. I'm not active in this way. God's going to do a miracle in you. Light is going to shine from heaven, and Mary is just standing tall. Zechariah, not so much. Says, I am the Lord's servant. Greek word there is doulos. It means slave. We don't use that word so much around here because of our cultural. See, we've got all this cultural stuff that goes in there. But realistically, she said, I am the Lord's slave. The Lord owns me. And he can do anything with me he wants. Question for you this morning. Can the Lord do anything with you that he wants? Can the Lord show up in your shower and say, hey, you need to persevere in the most difficult times, and I'll take you through? Because unless you're persevering, you don't understand what it means to be taken through the most difficult time. Amen? So you can pray all day long, and sometimes the Lord will say, yes! Light of heaven shines on you, don't duck! It was 15 years ago. Well, actually, we came to the church 17 and a half years ago. Average age was 80, maybe even older. Jimmy was the youngster, but he stood out like a sore thumb. There was two ladies used to sit right there, 94. Mike Schwab, 84 years old, was the worship leader. Wow. Rocking out. Not so much. But it was closed up. It was small. It was dark. But it was clean. Gene and the ladies would meet for WMs every Thursday morning and clean the whole church. It was clean. I thought, man, this place needs to get dirty. We got to get some people coming through here, some kids coming through here. And I said, you know what? Spanish neighborhood, Hispanic neighborhood, we're going to start a soccer league. Start reaching out to this community, find a way to touch them. And I'm looking around. I said, how do I start a soccer league? And I see an ad. These guys are starting a soccer league. And I'm going, I'm going to find out how they start a soccer league, and I'm going to start one. And so I go to this meeting, and it's the Kiwanis Club in East San Diego, Kiwanis Club. And they're talking about all this stuff, and they got a hookup with AYSO, and they're ready to do this, and they got money, and they got all this. And they said, well, what we need is a commissioner. I'm like, and I just, I say, pray, Lord, if this is not you, stop me right now. I said, you know, and this other dude, man, he's like, he's ready to jump. I said, I'm your commissioner right here. And we ran, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. That soccer league, I remember one time, I set it up this way. We did signups right here at the altar. I loved it, man, the whole community coming into the altar in God's house. Praise the Lord. And I think on the day we did that, Walter walked in the church. Didn't know Walter. And were you my assistant? Were you another coach?
I was a
coach. Yeah, Johnny was a coach. But we knew Johnny. But we didn't know Walter. And you know what? Walter never came to church. Didn't want anything to do with the Lord until about a year ago now. Well, last February. Played soccer. Kids played. Had championship games and all that stuff. He's still been playing soccer, doing club soccer now. And he came in last February. He says, you remember me? I said, and I was going, I know that dude. Because you can't forget Walter. God will say yes to your prayers. Light of heaven will shine on you. Require a complete change of your life. Question is, are you going to duck? Or are you going to stand tall? Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's keep on reading about Mary here. Mary moves into the miracle. Mary looks for verification. Gabriel keeps on talking. Or he actually said, hey, Elizabeth is pregnant. The old lady, Elizabeth, she's pregnant. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 39 and 40. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. That's kind of close to Jerusalem, about 60 miles away, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And she says, I'm going to go see. There you go, girl. I mean, we're talking about a young girl, say 13 to 16 years old, gets a visit from an angel. Oh, sure, really, you saw an angel. Yes, I did, Dad. And I got to go visit Elizabeth and Zechariah. It's a six-day walk. I mean, they have cars. They have any of that stuff. I'm going to put it together. I'm going to do that. She would have known Elizabeth. She would have known Zechariah, the old guys, church folk. Not much going on there. I'm going to go see him. Six-day walk. Pastor Dave, many of you know Pastor Dave. He lives in Iowa. When he comes, it takes 3 days to get there. All right? Now, I don't know. How many of you are ready to drive 3 days, the cost and the gas and the time off work and all that kind of stuff? But that's what Mary did. And when the light of heaven shines on you, it's going to require a response. It will require time. It will require effort. It will require money. It'll completely change your life. And when it happens, don't duck. Miracle is happening. Are you going to respond? Miracle did happen in Pastor Dave's life. I don't know, how old is Pastor Dave? Like 65? Something like that. 68? 68 years old. Got married last month. Ah, it's too busy for the marriage to go to the wedding. Elsie was not. She cruised out there. See, that's the problem. Light of heaven shines on us. We can be too busy. We can duck. Oh, I don't got time for this. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't got time. I don't got money. The problem in the church today. Too many people ducking. In the light of heaven. I hope you're not ducking. Mary finds proof. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Two things going on. John the Baptist is the baby. Whoa! Holy Spirit comes in Elizabeth, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." Number one, the message of the Lord is true. Message of the Lord is verified. 6 months, you ladies know, you can see. Mary walks in and old Elizabeth is now old pregnant Elizabeth. Can I get a witness on that? Also, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Boom, she's got a message from heaven, light of heaven right there. And she's not holding back, folks. She is bringing it. Blessed are you. Blessed is the child that you will bear. I'm too old. Blessed is the child you will bear. I'm too young. God makes a display in Elizabeth. And you going to let the Lord make a display in you? Roke, you got a message from God, man. You got to be my witness to your neighbors, to that neighbor, his family, and the rest of your street. I got presents for the kids on my street. Guess what? That took money. On that Wednesday when we're not having church, I'm going to have a barbecue. I'm going to pass out these presents. We're going to have s'mores. It takes time. It takes planning. It takes effort. Can I get a witness on that? Light of heaven comes. You can just say, "Duck, man, I don't got no time. Not no money. Blessed is the child you will bear." God make a display in you. Light shines on you. Embrace it. Don't duck. Too many people duck in the light of heaven. Too many people ducking, lives changed by God. The light of heaven shines on you. Don't duck. Amen?
Amen.
Light of heaven changes everything. Title of this series, Let There Be Light. Change Gabriel. Gabriel from the weakest tribe leads Israel to victory over the Midianites. Light of heaven changed Zechariah and Elizabeth, who gave birth to John the Baptist, who transformed Israel in preparation for a Messiah. Light of heaven changed Mary, and I'll add Joseph, gave birth to Jesus, a Savior. Saved me, saved you. I need somebody to turn that phone off if you could. Lisa in here? Leanne, could you come here and play this guitar for me, please? Just something. Don't you love your children being able to play guitar? Amen. Victory, transformation, and salvation. People's lives transformed by the light of heaven. That light was shining in Israel. That light is shining in San Diego. That light is shining right here in this room, and that light is shining on you this morning. The question is, are you going to duck? I'm too old. I'm old, man. I hurt every morning. I'm too young. Look at this young girl right here. How old are you, Leanne? 20? 21? 20. Turning 21 in January. Pray here. Pray. I'm too busy. I'm too poor. I'm too messed up. Situation's not right. God will talk to you. Talk to Aaron. He's naked in the shower. You talk to God, He will answer you. Light of heaven shine on you. Stand tall. Don't duck. light of heaven shines on you, and you duck, we miss transformation. We miss victory, and we miss salvation. Light of heaven shines on you. Stand tall. Lord, I come to you this morning, knowing that you are mighty and awesome, knowing that you are good, knowing that you shine your light upon us. Jesus, I know that you have told us that we are the light of the world. Lord, we don't shine. There's no victory. There's no transformation. There's no salvation. We don't find our fullness in you. Lord, this morning we got the light of your Spirit shining upon us, Lord, tapping us on the shoulder, saying, persevere. Don't give up. Lean upon me. Let go. Let go, and I got you. And we look for other alternatives. We look for other options because we don't want to trust you. This morning, Lord, help us to trust you. Stand tall in the light of heaven. Be counted among those that would follow you. Sitting here this morning and you are racked with sickness. You are racked with busyness. You are racked with doubt because you are too old or you are too young. And the Spirit of God would speak to your heart and say, I'll do a miracle in you. I'll do a miracle through you. Require a complete life change. Don't duck. Don't duck. Too many people ducking. Not enough people saving, transforming, and bringing us to victory this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word that you come to this place. You call us out of darkness into light. And Lord, as we celebrate your goodness, I thank you that we can stand tall. Let you stand around here. The worship team is coming up. And we're going to celebrate God this morning. Celebrate the opportunity. He's talking to many of you in this room that you're not too young and you're not too old, you're not too busy. Might be too busy and you need to become less busy. You might be sick. He says, I'm a healer. You need healing this morning. I want to pray with you.